For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas. Play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, the Hawaii Sports Radio Network as well. I'm joined as always by Brandon Deutsch and Mr. Jake Dicker. Guys, how we doing?
Doing great today. It's a beautiful Monday wherever you are. And can't wait to talk some sports today.
Yeah, I'm doing well. Glad to be back in the studio. Just the three of us today, so it should be fun.
I know. It's so weird not to have a full house in here, right? It's kind of odd just that it's the three of us. Arash will be back tomorrow, and so will Armand. But let's get to the headlines, because we got a lot of them. It's going to probably even span the next segment as well, spill over into the next segment. So let's go to the Circa Sports headlines. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contests are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details. Let's do this. Well, as the whole entire world found out yesterday, Mr. Bill Russell is no longer with us. RIP to Bill Russell. Guys, I just wanted to know your thoughts on his career. I know all of us didn't get to actually see him live and in action, but I just wanted to see your thoughts on his career and what he meant to the game of basketball for you guys.
I mean, he was instrumental. He revolutionized defense, you know, as we see it today. He was interior and perimeterly, like, the best player in the NBA for that time period. He averaged over 20 rebounds per game in his career. He was dominant. He won the biggest winner in basketball, for sure, in probably team sports history. 11
professional.
Sports. Yeah, 11 championships. I know, like, he was the best player on that team. I know there's the argument that I make that, you know, he had Cousy for part of that time. He had Sam Jones. He had Cowens for part of that time, too. And it's like, yeah, but he's still the best player on that team, right? And he won 11 championships. And he had to deal with all the racism back in that time, too. And they were so racist to him. And he was an activist. He was a great human being. He was just what we want to see as an athlete, as fans. Just an inspiration at all facets of him being a human being in general, not just on the court, but off the court as well. And it's just so sad. You know, it's sad. We're lucky we got, you know, Bill Russell for 88 years. It's a blessing that he was able to be a part of basketball for this long, and just hats off to one of the greatest to ever play the game.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows what he did on the court, off the court. I mean, as you said, was playing at a time where, you know, the country was very racially divided, especially the city he was playing in, very racially divided. To be able to do what he did off the court, you know, first African-American coach in NBA history, now over half the league going into this year, is led by African-American head coaches. He's been out of, you know, he played, then he coached. He's been out of the NBA itself for the majority of his adult life, but it still seems like he was such an important presence around the game.
Yeah, if you look at who he has, like, who he's influenced and who he's talked to, right, throughout those 88 years, post his NBA career and post his coaching career, I mean, he had interviews and just heart-to-hearts with some other major legends, Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson. I mean, the list can go on and on and on, right? Of who he's influenced in that game. So I mean, and you're right, especially during a time that was divided. It's still divided. You know, we're still a country that's divided. Nobody's gonna be perfect. Like, I defy you to find a country that's perfect right now. And I would
none of them are.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way.
So, no, absolutely. So, you know, what he's trying to do for future generations is monumental. It's instrumental. It can't really be defined, right? Like, you can't really, you can just appreciate it. You can just sit back and appreciate it. So yeah, RIP to Mr. Bill Russell, and especially talk about racism. I mean, been to Boston. If you've ever been to Boston as a black person, I've definitely experienced that.
Look what LeBron said.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not even what LeBron said. It's everybody prior to him too.
Well, of course.
Yeah, you know, and don't be wrong. I get it. Like, you know, they love Big Poppy out there, and I get that, because if you win titles for them, they will give you a little bit of a pass. But he did, and they still hated on him. 11 rings. You win 11 championships for the city of Boston, and you still get all the smoke and all the hate from those people, which is boggles my mind. Now they're giving him his due and his props that he's gone.
Well, real basketball fans know his impact, and real basketball fans don't care what color of his skin is. I mean, this is just ignorant people. There's always been ignorant people. It's not just Boston. It's around the league. Like, there's always going to be people like that. You know?
Yeah, which is really, really sad.
Sad, but it's just the truth.
Yeah.
And there was definitely more back then, right? Because it was considered, quote, you know, it was more quote acceptable, quote unquote. It's still a very racist time, less so than today.
Yeah. And also, I think over there, the racism is definitely a little bit lesser. Like, it's not just out in front, blatantly in front of your face kind of thing, as opposed to back then, right?
100%. 100%. A lot of people hold it in because, you know, cancel culture and stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Mr. Bill Russell, you're appreciated on the Arash Markazi show, and you will be gladly, massively missed. Moving forward to Deshaun Watson getting suspended for 6 games for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy after all of the allegations against him. What do you guys think about this suspension, and is it too long, not enough, just right?
I kind of knew the NFL would do this. It's too short. I knew he would play some of the games this year. I was kind of hoping he would sit out the whole year, kind of be disciplined for what he did. I know it's hard. There's nothing confirmed, right? He was let off, but he still has allegations against him. His lawyer, Rusty Hardin, is also, it's important to note, the best lawyer in all of Texas. And you know, he did his work. He went to work. I don't think if Watson had any other lawyer, he'd be completely off from these allegations right now like he is. I think that's kind of what led to this 6-game versus a 12-game suspension. But I think at the end of the day, when you have this many women in allegations against you, I think Watson did do something wrong. I think there was sexual misconduct. I don't think there's any denying that, unless you guys are under the impression that 50 women or whatever came in and was like, oh yeah, we're just going to go after Deshaun. No, he's a creepy dude. I mean, he was in there doing creepy stuff, and he's going to get off for it. And this is the NFL always does this. It's like with Kareem. How is Kareem Hunt still in the league? Like, in my opinion, if you beat a woman, you're out of the league forever. Baseball, football, I don't care what sport. You lay your hands on a woman and, you know, beat the crap out of her, you're out of the league for life, in my opinion. There's no morals in the NFL. This always happens. Always happens. There's no morals. It's a money-making business. And guess what? Deshaun Watson is a top 10 quarterback and possibly a top 5 quarterback when he plays. So, of course, he's going to get let off. This is society in general. You look at it in the college landscape too. If there's rape allegations towards a star quarterback, what usually happens? He gets away with it, right? I mean, it's just screwed up, the world we live in, but you know, it's everything's about that dollar. It's about, you know, Uncle Sam. As long as you're making the big bucks, making money, it's cool. You can do whatever you want. It sets a bad precedent for the future, and it's really sad to see the NFL do this.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL, or I guess the Cleveland Browns, put themselves in a spot where when they put in his contract where if he was going to get suspended, it wasn't really going to affect his five-year contract, and he was just going to lose something like $345,000 being suspended for six games. I mean, Calvin Ridley got a full year
For gambling, and then Trevor Bauer 2 years
that he wasn't involved in. It's just, I don't know what the legal proceedings of this look like. I don't know exactly what the allegations are, if I'm being honest with you, but there's what, 25.
Well, actually suits, but 60 allegations. Right. I mean, yeah.
You got to think, I mean, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck, right? I mean, it just doesn't see, it sets a bad, really bad precedent around the league. Josh Gordon over his career has gotten 26 games, 25 plus
for
games
weed?
For
yeah,
violating
come on.
NFL's, you know, drug policy for marijuana.
Ridiculous.
It's just, I don't like it at all.
Yeah, you're also like, you're alienating certain people too, right? Like,
exactly.
Certain people that are going to be watching the game would have watched the game automatically, and now, like, I'm sure there's a lot of other people that are like, are you kidding me? Like, only six games?
That's the screwed up thing about it. The NFL is always about making money, and I think that's most sports, but most sports leagues. At the same time, they're still king, right, with the ratings. Regardless of what they do, they could put up 10 convicted murderers out there on the field and people would still watch and they'd get 100 million views. Like, that's just the NFL. It's a product and people like to watch it. I don't think that's going to really have a dip in the ratings.
Yeah, I found numbers on what I was talking about on his contract. On his previous contract, if he was suspended for six games, he would have lost over $11.5 million. With this provision that the Browns put into this contract, he's going to lose $345,000 because his base salary is very,
what a joke,
very
too.
Thin, and then they just signing bonus and what incentivize a joke. The rest
how
of the
desperate
contract.
Do you have to win?
The Browns knew this was gonna, I mean, they all knew this was gonna happen, right? Yeah. You don't put that in.
Yeah.
It's just not a good situation around at all.
I mean, that also makes them look really bad.
Like, oh yeah, no, they look terrible.
Cleveland?
Yeah. Cleveland didn't do themselves any favors here, no. Giving him guaranteed however much money it is. I don't
and there
I don't
was really
exactly who, how much his contract's who, for, but in the middle of all of this, right? Usually I feel like a team let this play itself out, then decide. I mean, if you want to trade for him. If you don't, I mean, you don't have to extend him right away, right?
Quick question for you. Do you think that there was like, because there's always like an insider or always somebody like there, like tripping in somebody's ear in the organization, because like they have to know this stuff, right? They have to do their due diligence and know these things. Do you think that there was somebody like inside being like, look, this is going to blow over. He's not going to get that much of a suspension. He's only going to get this. Please put this
definitely.
In contract, ..
Definitely. Once he got off in court and it was like, yo.
Like official.
Yeah, once it was official, at most he was getting six games, you know?
I mean, what do you guys think would have been a appropriate, you know, suspension, whatever?
At least a year. At least a year. Am I wrong?
No, that's probably my thought. I don't know exactly. Like, I don't know. I don't think Deshaun Watson's like a violent, angry dude. I think he's a creepy dude.
Yeah. He did creepy things he shouldn't have done. Exactly.
So, I mean, yeah, if there's that many people coming out, not including the ones that he's paid off that we don't know about.
Yeah.
I think you gotta go a year. How do you give Calvin Ridley a year for legally gambling on a game that he was not involved in?
Oh, and hold on. He only put like what, $20 on that
game?
It was ridiculous like that. Nothing. Was it stupid? Yes, because it violated policies, but he should not have been suspended for a year. That's ridiculous.
Well, and with that being said, do you think that now, due to the fact that a lot of states have, you know, passed gambling laws where like you can legally bet online, etc., do you think that the NFL should be like, no, we're good, you guys can now start gambling?
If definitely not.
With you,
it doesn't matter. It sets a bad precedent. If you, then I everyone's going to start gambling on games and throwing games.
Is. So everybody
I, when I,
no,
I got this.
But if
you're
let it,
if you think
if
that.
You let it happen in the open more, it's a problem. I'm just saying Calvin Ridley should have gotten suspended, but not that many games.
I think that everything should be out in the open and like out there.
Really?
For everybody.
Like Wild West.
Man. No, not even just the Wild West. Just more like everything being out there.
But then you're giving more to the conspiracy theorists that say the games are rigged anyways.
Well, who cares about the conspiracy theorists? Like, at least everything's out there.
Well, now they have a valid argument. They're like, Kyler Murray's going to just intentionally throw an interception at this point because he's getting paid $100,000 to bet on himself. Like, you know what I'm saying?
What I was saying was that the policy should be that, like, if you are not involved in this game, if you are not, like, a if you and granted, this is a slippery slope, and I totally understand that aspect and that point of view. But if you are not involved in said game, go ahead and bet on, you know, if you're not playing for Arizona and Jacksonville, go ahead and bet on that game. And by the way, they're betting on games. They're just doing it via
I'm sure it happens. But
you can't just let it go out in the open. Yeah. And it's just such a slippery slope, Jihei, as you know.
I get that it's a slippery slope, and that I get that this is like the NIL. It's like the Wild Wild West, where like you don't know like how much these kids are going to be able to get paid, and there's no cap and et cetera and all that stuff. Like there's always going to be that. But like,
Everyone knows each other though, right? If you're on one team in the league, Brandon, and I'm on another, and I send you a text night before the game, I'm like, hey, I got a lot of money on your under rushing yards. Let's roll an ankle in the first quarter.
By the way, there's already tons of that already had happened years before. Point shaving has already happened.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, it's at least this way, it's like, well, you know what? We all know that the under is definitely going to happen now because so-and-so just bet on like, X amount on it.
I don't ever see that happening.
No, neither do I.
I don't see it happening. I'm just saying that like it would be more out in the open.
It'd be something.
Definitely. Well, moving on, James Outman went 3-4 in this MLB in his MLB debut as the Dodgers cruised to a 7-3 victory and a series win over the Rockies. Tony Gonsolin pitched well for playing at Coors Field, and the Dodgers continue to win the majority of their games, guys, as of late, other than, you know, losing 2 out of 3 to the Nationals. God, that hurt. Even Craig Kimbrell, by the way, pitched a scoreless 9th inning. What are your expectations for the Dodgers ahead of tomorrow's trade deadline?
Oh, I know they made the move for Chris Martin. Who knows how that's going to be. Obviously, I think he'll pitch better with the Dodgers. Everyone does pitch better with the Dodgers. They've got great player development and pitching coordinators, pitching coaches. So, I mean, look, I think they made that pen move that they're going to make. I don't think they make another move in the pen. I know Jake probably disagrees with me on that. But
I strongly disagree with that.
I don't think they do. I mean, when has Friedman ever traded for a high-end reliever at the trade deadline?
I don't know if it's going to be a high-end reliever, but I do think...
I mean, yeah, they could make another guy like, let's say...
Another Chris Martin type of guy.
Yeah, yeah, of course, but I'm saying high-end.
I mean, I don't know what the asking price is on a guy like David Bednar, but if the price is right there, I could totally see them going out and getting
it. What about Josh Hader?
I don't. Are they moving Josh Hader? I haven't.
They're listening, according to reports.
I hadn't heard anything about that.
I don't think it's serious, though. It's kind of like the Shohei stuff, but I know we disagree. I know you think Shohei's getting moved. I'm almost 100% sure Shohei doesn't get moved by the deadline.
Yeah, I don't. So I was much more optimistic that the Dodgers were going to make a big move before the Luis Castillo trade to Seattle. The Mariners got the number one.
Yeah, I know. Ridiculous.
The Reds got the Mariners 1, 3, and 5 prospects. Yep.
This ruined the market. It ruined the market.
Yeah, so the Dodgers at that point were not very happy. The Nationals were throwing a party because that just inflated what you can get for Juan Soto. Same with Shohei Ohtani. If the Angels are going to move Ohtani at some point, which I think they have to do, because I don't think that they're going to keep him after this contract is up. I don't think that they're going to be contenders next year. The farm system is the worst in baseball. No one on the major league roster can stay healthy. The pitching's not there. I don't think he signs another contract with the Angels, and you can't lose him for nothing. So if you're going to trade him at some point, you're never going to get more for him than you are right now. Given what the Reds just got for Luis Castillo, given, you know, this expanded playoff, more teams feel like they're in the mix that can make a playoff push. You can get major league talent. If you can get 3 out of 5 top 5 prospects for Castillo, you can get 4 out of 5 plus probably 2 in the 5 through 10 range for Ohtani. Yeah. I think you have to.
But
do
the
it.
Angels look so. From the Angels' perspective, are you ever going to get true value for Ohtani in a trade?
No, but you can't lose him for nothing.
There's a possibility, and you know,
it wouldn't surprise me if the Angels did it, because the Angels front office just
Office, I feel like, wants to trade him. Artie Moreno doesn't want to have Shohei traded. He makes so much money off Shohei. In fact, guess what? How much money he makes if he keeps him the rest of the season, trades him in the offseason before arbitration. He'd keep him the rest of the year, make all that marketing deals, and then trade him in the offseason. It's way more likely that Ohtani's traded in the offseason than by tomorrow. However, the biggest haul they're going to get has to come tomorrow, right? Because teams are going to want to contend. Padres would give up a King's ransom. They'd give up. I mean, I'm not high in Abrams. I don't think he's shown anything, but like Robert Hassel's a beast. It's a prospect. They'd get a catcher in Campiano. Campy, you know, he's great. Mackenzie Gore. They definitely get a couple guys like that, a couple pitching prospects. I think that's probably the best deal you're going to get, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, Bob Nightingale, take it for what you will, on a Juan Soto deal, said earlier this morning on Twitter that while the Padres, Dodgers, and Cardinals remain squarely in the hunt, the Nationals are making it clear to teams that if no one meets their price, they're not going to move.
It's a KD situation, huh?
So, yeah. The Dodgers, we said it on the show, can make the move if they want to. The Padres seem to be the most aggressive. I mean, we've seen Preller be very aggressive on the trade market before. Wouldn't surprise me at all. But I don't know. I just don't know how much you're going to have to give up for one of these
guys. I think the Dodgers are in third place in this bidding war right now. I mean, from what I've heard, the Cardinals are giving up the most talent on the big league roster. That's including Carlson and Gorman. The Dodgers are nowhere near the Padres' farm offer, apparently. So, like, if the Dodgers are in third place, like, what are you going to do? I mean, they can't. Honestly, they don't have as much to give as the Padres and Cardinals.
I think they have as much to give. If they were in a spot where they needed to make the trade, they have what they need to make it
they're
happen.
They're just not. They're probably
they
just not willing to
have
do that.
To.
Yeah.
They don't have to,
and they've got a lot of depth. And it's like, I feel like Cartaya has to be traded at some point because he got Will Smith for like 10 years, right? You're gonna have him for.
Yeah, the DH kind of changes things there, but I don't necessarily disagree with you.
You know what I'm saying? If like that's a guy you can get a lot of value for, especially when Alvarez gets called up for the Mets, then he's the top catching prospect, right?
Yeah, he'll be the top catching prospect.
Because Moreno will be called up too soon. So I mean, look, you kind of but Lux is playing so well, and you got Altman. It's not like you need to get Juan Soto. You know what I mean? To contend, like they'll be a World Series favorite this year, regardless.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, like you said, Jake, like, they don't need to, in order to be contenders, they don't need to give away anything, or they don't, you know, none of this is really truly necessary for the Dodgers, right? That's probably also why they're in third place in the running for Soto. Well, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we're going to continue to cover today's headlines when we come back here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas. Play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details. This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back, guys, to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and 760 AM, again, in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or a comment or just want to win tickets to an upcoming game in LA, Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline at 310-400-0340. Again, that number is 310-400-0340. Also, don't forget to email us at arashmarkazishow@gmail.com. That is all lowercase arashmarkazishow@gmail.com. Okay, let's go to, instead of the Circa Sports guest hotline, we're going to go to the Circa Sports headlines network. And we're going to continue on with our coverage of the headlines. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contest with $12 million guaranteed prizes are back. Visit CircaSports.com. Guys, we talked about the Nationals earlier on in the, or later on in the last segment. If the Nationals decide to trade the infamous Juan Soto sweepstakes, is now down to the three teams that we said before, the Dodgers, Padres, and Cardinals, as the MLB trade line is tomorrow. Who ends up with the generational talent?
I'm going to say the Padres. Sorry, I was yawning for a second. I'm going to say the Padres. You know, I think they have the best package. They do. I'm really high on Robert Hassel. I know he's ranked as the 30th overall prospect. I think he's a top 10 or 5 MLB prospect. His hit tool is almost a 75. He can run. He has some power. I like him as the centerpiece of that deal. And then they can get some. They can give some MLB talent, too, with, you know, C.J. Abrams, who's been back and forth from AAA, former top prospect. Same with Mackenzie Gore. They could get some depth, too. Give Campiano, catcher. They can, I mean, although the Nats don't need a catcher, they got Keibert Ruiz, so they really don't need a Cartaya or a Campiano. But at the same time, I think the Padres have the best shot to get him. I think the Cardinals, you know, they can give Jordan Walker, Nolan Gorman, Dylan Carlson, Liberatore, and a couple others. But to me, that's not as enticing, as good as Jordan Walker is, as a Padres deal. And then the Dodgers, I mean, they can give Lux, May, Cartaya, Pagues, and others, other prospects, Gavin Stone, maybe even Bobby Miller. Although I don't think they include Bobby Miller in a deal for Juan Soto. They might. That could move the needle. I don't think they've offered Bobby Miller. I think if they put him in that deal, maybe. But I think I don't think the Dodgers should add Bobby Miller in that deal, because I think he's their future ace, right? You kind of have to bet on him coming up and just dominating. I mean, he struck out Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani in the preseason game. This guy's going to be legit. I think they could go and get Soto. I do agree with Jake. I think the Dodgers could add Bobby Miller and add a couple more guys to get Soto. But at this point, I don't know if a deal happens for Soto, and I certainly don't think a deal happens for Ohtani by tomorrow.
I'm going to kind of give a boring answer here and go with whichever team is the most desperate.
I think that's the Padres.
I do think it's the Padres out of the three. But I think any of these teams can make a deal work, right? All these guys have enough. You know, the Cardinals and Dodgers are both top three farm systems in the league. Padres are probably a top 10 farm system in the league. And they have enough. They're all competitors, right? So they have enough major league talent where if that's going to move the needle, they can afford to give that up as well. So my guess, if it's going to be one of those three teams, my gut tells me it's the Padres.
Yeah, that's
just because I think Preller has shown over the years that he's the most willing to make the big splash, just kind of for the sake of making the big splash. I think Friedman knows when to make the big splash if he needs to. Isn't necessarily a guy who's going to jeopardize the farm for it. And also, the Dodgers have been very hesitant over the last decade to tie up themselves in big money long-term contracts. And they did it with Mookie Betts, and they somewhat did it with Freddie Freeman. I know it's a much shorter deal than Mookie's is, but it's still a significant number of years. You can't trade for a guy like Juan Soto if you don't have the intention of extending him for the next 13 to 15
years. Exactly, yeah.
And given how reluctant they've been to do that in the past, I don't know if they're going to be willing to do it with two guys at the same time. If you're going to do it, doing it with Mookie Betts and Juan Soto are probably the right guys to do it with. But I don't see Friedman being so willing to, you know, add a guy that he doesn't want to add to a deal, whether it's a Dustin May or a Gavin Lux or... If Washington wants major league talent, he's not ready to give up on Cody Bellinger. Like, it just depends. I don't think he's...
Well, and who's going to take Cody? No offense to Cody, but, like, who's going to take
Cody? I'll tell you this. Cody had a terrible year last year and then was second on the team in OPS in the playoffs. He shows up
when it matters. He does show up in the postseason.
And he's arguably the best defensive, you know, outfielder there is.
The Nationals, if they're getting a bunch of prospects and they're taking some major league talent, they would take Cody Bellinger, for sure. Especially because they don't have to pay him. He has one arbitration year left, and he can walk. So it just depends on what they're willing to take.
But that also sounds like that's not going to behoove their situation, right? That's not going to behoove the Nat situation if they do take Cody. That wouldn't make any sense.
No, that's why. I mean, it's going to be a lot of prospects, and it's going to be – I don't know how much controllable major league talent they're going to get unless it's a Gavin Lux or a guy like Dustin May, who I really, really hope they don't trade Dustin May. Like, I am a firm believer that Dustin May is going to win a Cy Young at some point in his MLB career. Like, just his...
He's got the stuff.
Just his pure stuff.
He's got to stay healthy.
is, yeah, I mean, he does have to stay healthy. Everyone has to stay healthy. But I think coming off of Tommy John surgery, I think he's in a good spot, and he looks good. He looks good off the mound. He's made two rehab starts now. I think he's got another one coming up. Only worked up right now to 3-4 innings. But I'm going to be really upset if they trade that guy.
When's your prediction for him to win like a Cy?
Oh, what are we?
2025.
Yeah, 2025, 2026.
I think Miller's the guy that's going to win a Cy Young for you.
If one of those two wins a Cy Young, I don't really care whose stuff is diminishing
every year, and this is a hot take, but Buehler, I don't think they should extend him.
I got to see how he comes back off this injury.
His stuff's
electric. I won't.
Not as much as it was 2 years ago. There's data to back it up. You look up his TrackMan data.
No, I'm sure you're right, but he's also been dealing with this elbow issue for a while now.
Yeah.
If they can finally get this under control and get, you know, I'm definitely not out.
Well, he's still a great pitcher, regardless of, you know, he's been in the league. He now has experience. He's an electric slider. Everyone knows that. Like, still gonna be a great pitcher nonetheless. I'm just saying, if you got to extend Trey, you know, and you got to extend other guys.
Yeah, no, the Dodgers have put themselves in a really good spot, but they also put themselves in a spot where they're going to have to make some really tough decisions over the next 2-3 off seasons.
100%. It started with Seager.
Seager. It started.
I think that was the right move, though.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't love it at the time, but I think looking back on it now,
it was probably the right move. It was definitely the right move. He doesn't deserve 330.
Yeah, I mean, he got paid a lot of money. The Texas Rangers paid him and Marcus Semien a lot of money. And I mean, Semien has been a shell of what he was last year.
Well, he's starting to figure it out recently.
He's starting to figure it out, but he started the year really poorly.
Well, isn't that also because when you do go to another team, you got to adjust to their system, you have to adjust everything else over there?
Yeah, but it's not like basketball or football where you're learning a whole new system. I mean, you still just got to go up there and hit, right? I mean,
like Trey Turner came to the Dodgers and dominated. You know,
Basketball and football, it's more like baseball's an individual team sport. Like everything you're doing, it's why guys get traded and they're in the starting lineup on a team the next day. It's just like, go up there. If you're in the outfield, make the play. If the ball's hits you, it's short. I mean, you know what to do with the ball. That's why Benintendi was batting third
for the Yankees the day after. Yeah. Gia, you want to talk about Debo?
Oh, yeah. Do you guys want to move on from this?
We can go to Debo.
Okay.
I know Brandon will never pass up an opportunity to talk about Debo.
I know.
On
this show.
My guy.
Or any of the Niners. Well, Debo Samuel signed a 3-year, $73.5 million contract extension with a $58.1 million guaranteed, because that is key, that guaranteed money. Was this an underpay, guys, an overpay, or just right for the Niners?
Is that Super Gremlin playing in the background coming through the tunnel? Debo Samuel putting on the map. No, I mean, he's their guy. He was a one-man team in the playoffs last year. I think he came to the understanding, this is what we talked about in the past, that if he went to the Jets or someone paid him a lot of money, he would I wouldn't say he'd be a shell of the player he was, but he'd be good, but he wouldn't be Debo Samuel. I think Kyle Shanahan's offense makes Debo Samuel Debo Samuel. And I do think this is a team friendly deal. I know Jake disagrees with me, but once DK got paid $72 million, and I do think DK is, I don't think that's a complete overpay for DK. I think DK's talent, he has the talent to become the best receiver in the NFL. Don't know if it'll happen considering his quarterback is Drew Locke or Geno Smith, especially this season. But I do think since Debo, we had this conversation, is Debo going to play wide receiver, running back, both? I mean, if he plays both, this is an absolute steal. If he has any snaps at the running back position, yeah, he might never have as good of a season as last year. At the same time, I thought he'd get $100 million. $110 million for 4 years. I thought he'd be the highest paid wide receiver in the league.
I have a quick question for you guys, because I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but this is a possibility of happening. You know when Flacco got that big, huge contract?
Yeah.
Right after that Super Bowl win? Do you think that might possibly, and then his career went on the decline after that? So you don't think this is going to happen to Debo?
No, because I know Jake will agree with me here. I think Trey Lance opens the field much more for Debo Samuel. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is getting him on the slants, the 15-yarders. Trey Lance can now throw him the deep ball, which Debo really hasn't shown the past couple of years. He's had to do a lot by himself, getting open, you know, hurtling over defenders, juking them to get more yards.
I mean, we're putting a lot of stock in a kid that hasn't even touched the field yet professionally in like a
Just based on talent. You said the same thing, but everyone said the same thing about Josh Allen. I'm not saying Trey Lance is going to be Josh Allen, but Josh Allen had gotten better every single year. You know,
I don't know exactly what we're getting with Trey Lance, but I know that Jimmy's a game manager, right? I know he brings a little bit more than that. The offense will be definitely going to be a little bit more dynamic, given what Trey's able to do with the ball. In terms of Debo, I know we talked about it last night.
Yeah.
So this entire contract was based around what DK got, right? So he was never going to take less than what DK got. Based on average annual value, DK's getting $24 million a year. Now Debo's getting $24.5 million, which makes him the sixth highest paid wide receiver in the league, mm-hmm. behind Tyreek Hill, who's making $30 million, Devontae Adams, $28 million, DeAndre Hopkins, Cooper Kupp, and A.J. Brown, right? So in just terms of pure receiving, I have no issue of him being the number six paid receiver behind those five guys. By the way, four of those guys, everyone except DeAndre Hopkins, coming into this offseason, DeAndre Hopkins was the only wide receiver in the league making upwards of $24 million. Eight of them, because Hill, Adams, Kupp, A.J. Brown, Debo, Stephon Diggs, and DK all signed new contracts.
Well, Hill's an overpay, but like, I'm just going back to the Debo thing. He brings so much to the table, and I think because of his versatility.
He's got to take a toll on his body at some point.
I know, right? And he's going to have less.
That's why he wants that 58. He's going to have
less. Yeah, and he's going to have less snaps at the running back position. There's no denying that. But just from like pure what he's able to do on the jet sweep, because he'll still do a ton of jet sweeps. He'll still do a ton of like creating for himself. This is their guy. I think this is a fleece by the 49ers. I thought he could have asked for way more and gotten way more. I really do. I really, just because of what he brings to the table. And I think people were surprised. You know, Jake wasn't surprised. And most people that like understand contracts, like Jake and I, you know, a lot of people weren't surprised because of that, because there hasn't really been a deal like this. But at the same time, Debo had a season that really wasn't replicated by anyone in the history of the game. And I know he won't continue to do that, but I think he could have demanded 3 years, $80 to $85 million, and maybe 4 years, 100, 110.
I think he's worth 75. I mean, I don't know if he'd be worth 100, but he's worth.
He brings more to the table than any wide receiver in the league. You know, what he's able to do in that offense.
But again, like you said, like, I mean, the coach makes all the difference, man. Like,
he wouldn't
be anywhere if he wasn't getting any of those touches from, you know, from his coach. So it is this an underpaid silver? I think this is just right for the Niners and for him.
Yeah.
As I said last night,
I think he got paid just right. And I think DK was overpaid.
I don't think DK was overpaid.
Yeah.
I think DK's talent-wise is like one of the most physical specimen athletes in the world.
Their only option right now.
I mean,
right?
Tyler Lockett's there, but like anybody who says Tyler Lockett's better than DK, like go watch the game and how DK like completely changes the dynamic of the game. He's one of them.
Look at him.
Had like a very good chemistry thing going on with Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Dude, DK's the number one guy.
Yeah.
The problem is, dude, like when are you going to draft DK in fantasy? Because he has no quarterback. Passes him. Poor DK is going to get drilled out there this year. You won't get many touches.
Also, just really quickly, just popped up on my phone. John Heyman just tweeted, breaking, Angels have decided to keep Shohei Ohtani. Yankees among teams to make an offer, but as of now, Ohtani will stay.
Told you.
I haven't read the article. It's attached. I knew that was going to happen. It is a New York Post article.
Take it with a grain of salt.
I know your thoughts there, but that has come out.
I mean, I knew that was going
to
happen.
I was about to say, does that really shock any of us?
No, I think they're going to do something extremely risky and try and contend next year, even though we know they won't. They'll try, and, you know, Artie's thinking, the owner of the Angels, thinking that, I mean, he's the worst owner in all of baseball, by the way. It's not even close with how he micromanages everything, doesn't allow his GMs. Look what Jerry DePoto's doing in Seattle. I mean, I know he gave up too much in the Reds deal, but, I mean, he's built a winner with Julio, and, you know, now he has Luis Castillo, he has that whole roster because the Seattle owner is allowing him to work. Artie's a superstar-driven guy. I respect it, and you know, but I just think he needs to let Perry Minashian do his thing, and I think Perry would have traded Ohtani. I think this is an Artie thing.
I mean, we've said before, it's probably in their best interest to trade him, but Artie was never going to let that happen, right?
No, he's going to do everything he can to keep Ohtani for as long as he can and turn a profit. So, like, his best bet, his thinking is you got Neto, you drafted MLB ready guys. Neto's going to be in the MLB next year, right? He's a great shortstop. You got him in the first round. Ben Joyce is going to be in the pen next year. You're going to have Iglesias. He's on, he has control for like 4 years. I know he hasn't had a great season, but he's still one of the best closers in the league. And they're thinking that like with Detmers' rise, they could get maybe a guy like Rodon in the offseason. Maybe. I know he has, doesn't he have an opt out? I feel like if need be. I don't know if they could pay him because of Rendon, and obviously they need to save money just in case they can extend Shohei Ohtani. But like, they got to get stuff done in the offseason. I think the only guy they move at tomorrow's deadline, if they move anybody, it's Syndergaard, right? Like, I think that's the guy. Because I think Iglesias' value is at an all-time low. I don't think this is the right time to trade a guy with 4 years of team control, especially if they're going to try and contend again next season, which it looks like they'll try to do regardless of their awful farm system.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think the one thing, I know you said, we've said that the Mariners give up a lot for Castillo. I mean, if you look at, if you pull up any team's top 10 prospect list from pick a random year, it looks great on paper.
But a lot of those guys,
don't pan out.
Like look at CJ Abrams and Kelenic. Those guys were top three prospects that came to the league and they've struggled. And look, they could still pan out, but I get it. Like Castillo's a sure thing ace if he's given the right coaching, you know, at two at the worst, the number two starter at the worst.
Well, guys, let's go back to football. We talked a lot about the Chargers and the Rams, but there is another team in Vegas that has high hopes this season as well, in the Las Vegas Raiders. After trading for Davante Adams this offseason, how does Vegas fare in the AFC West, and what are your expectations for them?
Yeah, so I'm actually pretty high on the Raiders. They won, 10 games last year? Without Davante Adams,
right?
I mean, I know they're in a tougher division. I think they went about the same, 10 or 11. I think Devontae brings, I mean, Derek Carr is, I think he's so disrespected around the league, like that people are going to like move on from this. Are you kidding me? He's a top 12 quarterback in the NFL. Like, come on. Like, what are you talking about? The guy had like 4,700 yards last year with Hunter Renfrow as his guy. They didn't even get Darren Waller the ball. Everyone was like guarding Darren Waller extremely well.
Renfrow killed it for my fantasy last year.
I know. Renfrow's a beast. I know. Renfrow's a beast. And look, he's going to get obviously a drop in production this year, Renfrow, a little bit because Devontae's the guy. I love this. I don't see as big of a drop-off from Rodgers to Carr as most people think. Like, I think
Carr's really good.
I think Carr is great, and I think that's a guy in fantasy, like, if you're willing to wait on a quarterback to the 6th, 7th round, like, that's going to be, I mean, the Raiders are going to be great offensively next season. Great. Like, elite.
The Raiders season's going to come down to how they do outside of their divisional games. So outside of the AFC West, they play the NFC West, which isn't easy.
And two games are easier. Especially if do they play Hopkins before he comes back, because that's a free win.
They play the Cardinals. Yeah, they play the Cardinals in week two. So
they'll win that game.
They should win that game. But then they play the AFC South, which they should take care of at least three or four of those.
They'll beat Tennessee, too. I mean, Tennessee's going to have a little bit of a drop-off,
They'll beat
honestly.
Jacksonville. They'll beat Houston. They should probably beat Indianapolis. I have no idea. That's my team this year that I have no idea.
Don't sleep on Jacksonville, by the way. Like Trevor Lawrence is still that guy, and he's going to show that this year with the ETN back.
No, I think Jacksonville's going to be much better.
They're going to have six wins at least.
I think it'll be much better, but I don't think that's a team that should be.
Oh yeah, they're not going to beat the Raiders, but.
But I'm high on Derek Carr. He's been put in terrible situations ever since he's been in the league, and he's kind of one of those like neutral quarterbacks where like people don't really know how to feel. Like it's like him, Tannehill, like Kirk Cousins, but like I think he's the best of those three. I don't think it's
Jimmy.
Close.
Like he's the best of those four.
I think his talent wise, his tools are better. And you add Davante Adams, it's going to open things up. Davante Adams, Hunter Renfrow, Josh Jacobs, Darren Waller, Derek Carr,
dynamic
top 15 defense in the league, easy.
Yeah, with Crosby,
should be able to get it done as long as you take care of the games that you have to that you should win. As long as they don't stumble along the way or suffer a major injury, I think they're a 10-11 win team.
So who's the team? Who's the odd team out in that division? Denver?
I think it's Denver. I'm not sold on Denver yet. I know a lot of people are really high on Denver because their defense is tops in the league and they've got the tools, but I'm not sold on Denver yet.
For sure.
I mean, who do you guys have in the AFC West then?
Chargers,
Chiefs, Raiders.
Chiefs still have Pat, but Tyreek, losing Tyreek's big loss.
Huge.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you guys. I definitely am going, I mean, I'm on a high for the Chargers, obviously, just all the improvements that they've made. But that's all the time we have for today, guys. Good show. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is the Arash Markazi Show saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing, currency chasing. Worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces. Shed tears as we bury brothers.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.